Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz is a vision of all that is jazz, both traditional and contemporary, domestic and global. Here's your host, Trish Hennessy.
Man, what a comfort it is always to hear my friend Dave Solomon. Seriously, let me tell you something about Dave, and I've said so much already, and he hears this. I have not seen Dave since 2004. So that means 10 years. And 10 years is really pivotal for moi these days, because a couple of months ago, if you had said to me, you're going to move to Florida, I would have said that you're crazy. But that's what my son and I are going to do later this year. Hopefully, we won't have to wait till 2015. Life is changing, ladies and gentlemen. How is it where you are, my friend? Everything okay in your world? Are you making the positive changes necessary to your life? Trish, this is a music show. This is not positive reinforcement time. Yeah, I know. But see, it's a combination of all that, because it really is a hybrid show. If you were listening on Tuesday, you know exactly what that means. Woo! We have a wonderful young artist with us in the third hour of the show today, Rachel Eckroth. She is so unique and so passionate and so different, you are going to fall in love. Something very astounding about this girl. I'm so glad that Pete Gitlin introduced us. We're going to start the show off with something classic, as is the usual case. Let's go back to 1968, 69 or so. Les McCann, Burning Coal on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
Hybrid Jazz.
Yeah. dreams I knew. Came the question, love is fear, can true love fail? Then I would miss the childhood wish, and haven't I sung to you of the night in armor bright, faithful and true to you, darling? After all, I will be the one to hold you in my arms. After all, I will be the one to hold.
My gosh, has that 80s sound, doesn't it? And I love that. Raise your hand if you love that 80s sound and how to describe it. The image is big hair, but there's a whole bunch happening as far as that particular kind of that decade. There's certain songs that are irreplaceable, priceless, and they come from the 80s. I never used to think about that before, but when I'm hearing them now, because it's 2014, it just pops. That was from 1984, by the way, from High Crime, Al Jarreau and After All. One of the reasons why that song is so great, apart from the fact that it's in a golden throat, is because it was co-written by David Foster. Yeah, Casey didn't know that. And on that album, among others, Greg Phillinganes and Bobby Lyle. So when you surround yourself with a guy who's already great, and then there are all these musicians that get you, and you're playing in an atmosphere that is so conducive to all sorts of happy vibes, man, whew, must have been happening that day. Al Jarreau is out and about, bless his heart. Oh, man, I love to see this because remember how worried we were a couple of years ago? Al is going to be at, among other places, Jacksonville Jazz Festival. I know my friend Shannon is happy. New Orleans Jazz and Heritage, which, by the way, has very little to do with heritage, even less so for jazz. Last time I checked, Christina Aguilera and Bruce Springsteen weren't jazz acts, but what do I know? I digress. Playboy Jazz also. Al's going to be there, and he's going to be at Capitol Jazz Fest with Stanley Clark in a tribute to George Duke. So if T and I can make our way over there, we're going to be talking to Al about a few things. And Al, let me tell you something, honey. If you're listening, we love you truly, and your management has not responded to me because I understand that there's a problem with women. So next time I see you, we'll just chat about that, okay? Because we like to bring misogyny right there to the table, right there with your breakfast or your lunch, just to get it out there in the open. We heard from Winslow Dynasty. Dante Winslow is taking a break from his tour with Justin Timberlake. Hopefully he's back home in Baltimore. We'll see. Mashika and Jedi, I'm sure, are all around him. And Dante is doing so well with this Enter the Dynasty CD. I can't even say. The song you heard was Summer Cookout. And it features Questlove, Roy Hargrove, Dennis Chambers. The personnel on this particular CD is so crazy. If you want a little taste of something for everybody, because Dante on trumpet plays it all, and he loves it all. Oh, gosh, it's so soulfully satisfying. He loves jazz. He sure enough does. He loves rock. He loves soul. He loves to delve into certain kinds of areas in hip-hop that just sound so comfortable with the other kinds of sounds he does. I love him so. He is going to be in Berlin with Justin on the 24th, then Paris, Amsterdam, Belgium, and Denmark. Something else, huh? Leave. Les McCann, Burning Coal, we heard to start the set. Phew. One of those, honestly, underrated commanders of the groove, for real. Born in Lexington, Kentucky. He's 78, still with us. What you heard was from Much Less. Yeah, that's the name of the album in 1969. Album includes a beautiful rendition of a song that you might remember if you're of a certain age, With These Hands, which is like one of the consummate wedding songs. Oh, God. Amazing. He's got on this CD with, oh, excuse me, LP with him, Leroy Vinegar, I love that name, on bass, Donald Dean on drums, and Les is grooving out on piano. This was the album right before Swiss Movement, the one that exploded with Eddie Harris. Just so you know, Les is also an exhibited painter and photographer. Now, I really wasn't aware of that. I've got to delve into more of that because if he's still doing it, I really want to see what he's done. Very talented cat. We are going to be hearing from one of the coolest young women that I have had the pleasure to interview, but I haven't interviewed yet. This will be our first time. Again, thank you to Pete Gitlin. He's going to be sick of me saying that, but if it wasn't for Pete, I wouldn't have known who Rachel Eckroth is, and I really want to get to know her more. Another young lady that I know a lot better, and I'm so glad to say that, and she's real excited because her new CD is on the way. Didn't know that about Chelsea Green. Yolanda and Beej are in the chat room, and they know Chelsea. Man, did she do well with 2012's EP called Still Green. It's her green project, ladies and gentlemen, bringing all that classical training. One of the most educated women I know. She loves to study, bless her heart. This is called Pizzicato, Chelsea Green on violin, etc. on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
Hybrid Jazz.
Your heart desire.
You know, when they were recording that song, there must have been some moment where sound engineers or folks that were in the studio just looked at the other and went, this is one of those standstill moments in time where such magic has happened. This song is destined to be timeless. And it really is. Do you know that that is the first and only number one song from a Disney animated film? Isn't that something? A Whole New World from Aladdin, 1992. It's an Oscar-winning song. It's so crazy. But how can it not be an Oscar-winning song? And how can it not, when you combine the voices of Peebo Bryson and Regina Bell, you already know something holy is going to happen. Oh, my gosh. Just so beautiful. I'm tickled to see, first of all, that Regina Bell is touring. She looks beautiful on her website. And then Peebo, thanks for following me on Twitter, Peebo. He has, according to his website, dates listed that have just stopped. I think that they were up until April the 9th or so. He just had a big birthday on April 13th. I saw his wife and he had a great time out and about. So I'm anxious to see now what he's going to be doing for the rest of 2014. Meanwhile, that song is not long enough, about 4 minutes or so, A Whole New World. If you haven't checked out the video for a while, go check that out. It's half Aladdin and Jasmine, and then Peebo and Regina. So beautiful. Ken Navarro, speaking of beautiful. Woo, did that sound good? Next to Chelsea Green. This is one of the songs that we wanted to play when Ken was on the show last week from the brand new Ruby Lane, which, by the way, debuted at number 2 on Amazon and iTunes. So excited for him. The song you heard was When the Spirit Speaks. Ken was talking about this song, and it's a departure for him because you basically have this classical intro that lasts for a while, and then Ken comes in with his guitar. He really is so proud of Ruby Lane, and he has a right to be. Oh, gosh. It's just going to be bad if I play a Ken Navarro song every time I do this show. But we've played 3 or 4 now, so I feel good. Chelsea Green and the Green Project, Still Green, the LP, or the EP, I should say, violist, composer. She is really making some strides. We just talked to Philip Doc Martin the other day. He loves Chelsea. He and this beautiful lady go back a long time, and they've wanted to collaborate. Well, they're finally going to do that. If anybody is going to be in the Bethesda area come July, it's going to be Doc Martin and Chelsea Green in concert together, which is a hoot, because when friends get together and they really respect the other's music, talk about magic. It always happens. Chelsea, in the meantime, is going to be doing a number of events for the American Heart Association, for Associated Black Charities. She's going to be doing Hope Under the Stars to benefit Foster Youth Resources, which is absolutely wonderful. She does gravitate to charitable events. And I don't know what she does in the way of compensation, but her heart is as big as where she comes from, which is Texas. But she's spending so much time, most of her time, I think, in the Washington, D.C. area now, and getting work. She's getting work. We love to know that. God knows Brian Culbertson is getting work. Golly day. And Brian made it a point to ask when he was on the show a few weeks ago if I would kindly pass along the word about something that's very close to his heart, because it's his. If you have never heard about this Napa Valley Jazz Getaway, have you seen the lineup? Crazy. We'll get to the specifics about that coming up. Don't forget that Rachel Eckroth is coming up in the third hour of the show. mesmerizing music. If you are aware of, and this is what she reminded me of, this is crazy. Some years ago, because of tributes to Elvis Presley, there were a couple of songs out and about. One of them was by a vocalist named Robin Lee. She did a song called Black Velvet, and it was about Elvis. There is this vibe, this bluesy kind of deeper than the usual vibe where Robin goes, and that's where Rachel is, that's where she heads, and that's my oven. Sorry about that. She has this particularly interesting kind of thing that she does with her voice and her music. Whew, can't wait to share her with you. Let's get to that Brian Culbertson track. Are you ready? This is with Steve Lukather from Toto. It's called Beautiful Liar from another long night out on Hybrid Jazz. Hybrid Jazz. That we don't get to hear often enough. Honestly, Sophie Millman is so interesting because she's Russian-born. She lives in Canada. She is married to a lawyer, professor, musician, all of that, who funded a few of her, actually, I think all of her CDs. This is from back in 2009 from Take Love Easy. The Bruce Springsteen song, I'm on Fire. Her voice has been described as, I'm just the messenger, right? Creamy. And she's not only emotional, but she's in control. And she appreciates the greats that have been before her. She has actually been compared in certain ways to Ella Fitzgerald Annette King Cole. When you see her, she could take your breath away. She's just that beautiful. And as somebody has suggested, she could have very easily gone the minimal clothes route to be more popular. But I love the fact that I'm asking questions right now on Twitter. Where is Sophie Millman? Because I can't get access to where she's going to be. Her website is not updated, either is her Twitter. So I'm not sure if she's taken a break or what the story is. Maybe somebody can fill me in. Just love her. And she loves being a jazz vocalist. Oh, that thrills my soul. When somebody says, yes, I love being involved in jazz. I really like what I can do in the genre of jazz. Rather than, and I'm telling you, if one more person says this to me, there's going to be somebody hurt. If one more person says, oh, why can't it just be good music or bad music? Why do we have to have categories? Yeah. My son and I were laughing about this yesterday because we actually had a conversation. If you were going to see somebody in your neighborhood, somebody in the city, you got to take a train, you got to take a shuttle to get there, you're making it a point to go out of your way and spend money to see somebody. You want to ask folks, if they have seen that artist, hey, what kind of music do they play? Have you ever heard anybody say, oh, it's good music? No. Somebody will say to you, you know what? They're kind of pop, they're kind of jazz, and they do a little hip-hop. Or, you know, they're kind of classical, but they bring rock into it, too. Or, they're pretty much straight-ahead jazz. You'll really like it. Nobody ever says, that's good music, man. I'm done. I'm done right now. Okay. You get the point, right? Yeah. We also heard Jackie Joyner with Keiko Matsui, brand new for the daddy-to-be. Yes. He and wife Lola are expecting a little one, a girl, in September. So Jackie was actually asking for suggestions as far as a name is concerned. And I'm looking at the album cover, which is really cool. It's a close-up of Jackie's face. And one of the titles of the songs is Born to Fly. Wouldn't that be cool to find like a Spanish translation or a Portuguese translation or Israeli or South African, something, French, and find out what Born to Fly means in one of those languages. For example, solemn in French is Solange, which is beautiful. So if he could find a name like that, that would be cool. Tie into his new album. It would probably translate to mean more record sales. Jackie, I'm just saying. That was so cool. What you heard was Europa from Evolve. That's the name of the new CD from this saxophone player, flutist, composer, and producer. Now look, this is really interesting. Jackie is going to have a CD release party at Spagatini's coming up, and he's also going to be in Clearwater, Florida, at an unknown location, TBA, to be announced. So I'm thinking, there's been a lot of rumors about Clearwater and Tampa, and maybe a new radio station coming there that maybe has some jazz? Keep your fingers crossed, because I just found out that there is an AM station now in Sarasota that switched from sports to jazz. Now, it's pretty much straight ahead, older jazz, but I'll take it. You know, whatever we can find in the way of jazz, we should be talking about it, lifting it up, supporting it, don't you think? Absolutely. Thank you, Jackie, for the CD. That was very nice to get that in the mail. Brian Culbertson also with the new, Another Long Night Out. Whew. So good, this CD. Honestly, it really is. Beautiful Liar is what we heard with Steve Lukather. Mm-hmm. Now, I told you about this Napa Valley Jazz Getaway happening on the 11th of June to the 15th. Just beautiful. And from my way of thinking, this is real, real personal. If you have Average White Band and Mavis Staples and Karen Briggs at the same festival, that there is worth the price to go. I'm serious. Of course, there's Eric Benet and Earl Klugh there, too. So lots of folks that other people love a lot, but you just heard the folks that I love. Something for everybody, honestly. It's such a big deal. The Napa Valley Jazz Getaway. It's on my page on Facebook, and I'll be talking about that more. Just because. Brian's cool. We had a good time on the show. Rachel Eckroth is coming up in the third hour of the show, so that's less than an hour away. We've got some more music. We're going to find out about what the deal is, hopefully eventually. There's a lot of Jaco Pastorius news. He's on the cover of Jazz Times. Peter Erskine has this beautiful article inside those pages. And then they're going to be doing something for Jaco this Saturday in Baltimore at a cool place called Soundgarden, the best record shop in the whole world, honestly. And you know who's going to be doing the tribute to Jaco this Saturday at Soundgarden? It's just really weird. The bassist for Metallica. I kid you not. So we're going to be telling you more about that. Let's dip back into weather report from 1977, shall we? This is considered one of the glorious passages in musical history from Heavy Weather. This is Birdland on Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy. Hybrid Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
That there's just too that they've done.
Enjoyed doing that song, didn't he? Ah, oh, I'm so grateful that he did. From 1994, from the album called Songs, the covers that Luther Vandross loved, and one of them included the Mariah Carey song that he did. They remade Diana and Lionel, Endless Love. So many beautiful songs, including that one. Boy, did Hal David and Burt Bacharach know that this was going to be a song that would carry some weight, not only at the time they wrote it, but even Burt Bacharach thinking, because Hal David is no longer with us, Burt must think, oh my God, do we need that song now more than ever? What the world needs now is love, sweet love, which, by the way, one of these ironies that you know we love so much, Jackie DeShannon's original version of that song was released on the 15th of April in 1965. So 2 days ago, back in 1965, just has that Twilight Zone kind of thing attached to it. Ding, 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 ding. Oh, my gosh. Luther, why did I play Luther today? First of all, because it's his birthday, the memory of his birthday on the 20th of April, 1951. Of course, we know they passed away on the 1st of July, 2005. Luther is my special angel, and so is the woman who is into this mix. Lori Lewis's birthday is today. She is now one of the most, to me, powerful women in radio because she oversees a lot of web content for a lot of radio stations, and she writes a particular article that is always in allaccessmedia.com. So she knows some ins and outs of social networking and marketing and promotion. She was a great program director. So back in 2005, WSMJ was kicking. And that was in Baltimore, Smooth Jazz Station. I was really not aware of Smooth Jazz Stations. We were just getting ourselves acclimated. We had arrived in Baltimore 2004, late, and I was working as a rental agent. I took a little break from radio so that my son could get immersed in his junior high, which had an Asperger syndrome program that was brand new. So we had that in the neighborhood. We lived right down the street in an apartment that we got for half price because Mama was renting them. it was very cool, but, you know, you want to be doing other things. So when Luther passed away, there was a wonderful jock on the air named Bill Simpson. He was talking about Luther in such a way, T and I had tears in our eyes because of the passionate way that Bill was talking about how Luther affected him. And I was so moved that I called the radio station, and I wanted to leave a message to say thank you. This means a lot when somebody passes away, to talk about how much them that they meant as a person and their art meant as someone who was maybe healed from the songs through the years. So this was Saturday, and a live person answered the phone. It was Lori Lewis. So Lori, she turns the tables around and says, okay, so who are you? And I told her who I was, and she said, you've been doing radio since when? I said, 1976. She said, oh, so what are you doing now? I said, well, I'm working as a rental agent. She said, you are. Do you want to be doing that? Well, not really. She said, why don't you come to see me? So I did. She looked like Sandra Dee in person, blonde, kind of Amazonian, tall, blonde hair. And within 5 minutes, she offered me a job. Within 5 minutes. So Lori's birthday is today. She is now based in Detroit, Michigan. Haven't seen her for a while. It's just one of those situations where the station went away, but the impact of Lori Lewis remains amazingly strong, because if it wasn't for Lori, there would be no hybrid jazz happening right now that's making some inroads in that many people are getting played on this particular outlet that wouldn't get played. So thank you, Lori. Everybody needs to thank you for paving the way for that to happen. Happy birthday. Get a real good bottle of wine. And Luther, happy birthday to you in a few days. Man, we'll be thinking about you. You really did so much, we can't even say. Hiroshima from last year's J-Town Beat, Cruisin' J-Town, that they did in Annapolis on Sunday. They tore up Ram's Head on stage. Danny and June and Chemo and Dan. There's Dan and there's Danny, and then there's Dean Cortez. Woo, stand in the corner playing that bass. It was just too awesome for words. Every time they come to the area, folks never forget it. And then there's Jaco Pastorius from Weather Report and Heavy Weather, Birdland, the eighth album. Such love for this album. The second one, actually, with Jaco as a full member. He was doing a few tracks on the previous effort, but now he was fully entrenched in the band with Wayne Shorter and Manalo Bandrina and Alex Acuna and Joe Zawinul. This Saturday, as part of the wonderful, and you really need to know this Saturday is Record Store Day. Wherever you are, support a mom-and-pop record store, please. Soundgarden in Baltimore, specifically in Fells Point, are going to have a celebration of Jaco Pastorius. I understand that some of his sons are going to be there, and Metallica bassist Robert Trujillo. He's going to be there as well. That's crazy. It's going to start at 4 o'clock in Fells Point this Saturday. Yee-hoo! Such exciting stuff. And then Jaco is on the cover of Jazz Times. I had to think for a minute. Peter Erskine had taken some pictures through the years and wrote a story, and it's just wonderful. We have to give some local love before we get to Rachel Eckroth, who is originally from Arizona, Phoenix area, had a lot of education, now based in the Brooklyn, New York area. Can't wait to share the music. David Buck, we have to play something from our wonderful keyboardist with the incredibly, how shall we say, anointed roots, Johann Sebastian Bach. Yes, he's in the lineage. This is from the widely received Other World CD that was out in 2013. This is called Night of Day on Hybrid Jazz. Enjoy. This is Hybrid Jazz.
Do you really know just how beautiful you are? A breeze creeping in from an ocean's tide, gliding through reality. You dwell in dreams, gleaming, beaming. Bathe me in your gaze. It's crazy just how strong the scent of honey you be. Tasty. Brown, deep, crave, sweet, loud, I need, we amazingly placing tips to peace. You seep into my memory, silence a moment's doubt. For you, I'd even take your penalty. Punish me. I'm pleading. On knees. Unyielding, lust, heat, insecurity, defeat, trust, us. 'Cause it's all beautiful to me, and I have a secret. Shh, I see you for your truths, imperfections, perfectly woven into a manifestation, purpose, a life worth being close to. And no matter the distraction, baby, I see you and you're beautiful. So just let me explore you, implore you to lay armor to the side, facade dispelled, stand bare, vulnerable, unsure, twisted distortions, but pure at the core, and it's all beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you.
every emotion with a face when she's mine. Never heard a voice from a woman so delicate. She was everything I could ever want in life. So rich was the conversation. I was hanging on to every little thing she had to say. So pure were the girl's intentions. I was giving in to thinking about her every single night and day. Somebody tell me what's going on.
Somebody said
you must have been flirting with an angel. Somebody tell me.
Somebody say.
Hey, you must have been flirting with an angel.
Somebody say.
She came from the other side.
From the other side.
Back to back. I knew it was going to be trouble. Oh, Lord. In case you are not aware, haven't we had some amazing vocal performances today? Phew. Wow. Gary Taylor is the vocalist that you just heard from 1998 from his Love Dance CD. And Gary's had a few projects out to actually glimpse the breadth of his work. You need to go to morningcrew.com. Flirting with an Angel is the track there that could set you back a little bit, could make you lose your focus. I have to tell you that Gary, and I'm so glad that I was thinking about that song today, or actually yesterday when putting the show together, because Gary's going to be at the Birchmere in Alexandria, Virginia, coming up on the 10th of May. And then he's going to be doing a cool couple of nights at Catalina Bar and Grill in Los Angeles in July. So make sure you follow up on Facebook or hismorningcrew.com and check out Gary, because in person, it's really soulful. You know, some people really want to be soulful, and they try to let you catch on that they are, but when you see them in person, it's a different kind of story. Gary, there's so much going on in that head and in that heart, and it just pours right out. Woo! Strong stuff. We heard that second track in the set from Kevin Jackson from his Stories in Color CD from 2012. The track you heard was called Beautifully Brown. It was Kevin on acoustic and electric guitars and Philip George and Steve Felton on keyboards, and then Philip George on bass synth, Will Allen on drums, but the vocal is by a lady named Nia Freethought Johnson. I don't know what her inspiration was for Beautifully Brown, but Kevin Jackson was catching on. That is so sexy when somebody does a poetic reading like that, and then somebody with a musical instrument is able to embellish the words. After each passage, woo, that gets me every time. Kevin Jackson is going to be with the other Kevins, Kevin Howard and, the Kevins are going to be at the show next Friday. That is so crazy. Wait a minute. I have so much in my brain right now. It's almost fried. I have so many Kevins that I know. It is crazy. Kevin Walker, Kevin Howard, Kevin Walker, Kevin Jackson are all going to be backing up Anita King, Micah Chevalier, and Geneva Renee in Silver Spring, along with Kenneth Trusty on drums and Philip Doc Martin on saxophone. It's almost sold out. If you haven't gotten your tickets, make sure you reach out to me and I'll guide you to the right passage to get you there. But Kevin is also, this Kevin Jackson, is going to be a big deal for him. He's going to go back to his roots, his college, Morgan State University. He will be live in concert on May the 16th at Murphy Fine Arts Center. It's going to be a live event that's taped. So he's asking everybody to be on your real good behavior, looking good, and then acting up with each of the songs, because this is monumental for Kevin, who has spent years playing guitar and bass in the Baltimore area. So this is, to him, the equivalent of winning a Grammy. May the 16th, you can find out all the information at Kevin's website. I always have to check on this to make sure I'm telling you the right thing, which is called musicbykevinjackson.com. Okay? Yeah, I'm sure that's it. Okay, and David Bach from Other World from just last year, melodic storytelling at its best. The track was called Night and Day. David Bach, B-A-C-H, music.com, has more information, including all the dates you need to know, including Baltimore, it's Bethesda Blues and Jazz, coming up in late June. A lot of music is getting played in the Baltimore, Virginia, Washington area, and hopefully we'll be able to make that happen when yours truly moves to Florida later this year. Hopefully that will happen. Beach, I'm paying attention to you. God's timing, I know. Woo! Let's get to one song before we get to our guest, Rachel Eckroff, coming up at the top of next hour. I wanted to play this because this is brand new. Sam, thank you so much for making this available to me. Sam Rucker sent this to me in the mail, saxophonist extraordinaire, formerly involved in hip-hop, and does he have some friends? Let me tell you who his friends are on this CD. Norman Connors, Bobby Lyle, Allison Williams, Tom Brown, Huge Groove. They believe in this man, and you will too, because you're about to hear a take on You Are My Starship. Yes, with Norman Connors producing Sam here from the CD called Tell You Something on Hybrid Jazz. This is Hybrid Jazz. So you can imagine when I had this CD in front of me with all these tunes from Let Go. And let us be clear, it's not Let It Go, as in Idina Menzel, or however John Travolta said her name that night at the Academy Awards. Not Idina Menzel. This is Let Go, the name of this CD, and you just heard the title track. So I'm listening to this voice, and I'm listening to the keyboard playing and the production, and you could really lose yourself, because this young woman is able to open the door and allows you to come in. It's as if you're listening to a musical diary. She is an actress. She may not think of herself that way, Rachel, but she pulled me right back to my Temple University years in Philadelphia. And I was thinking of all the ways we could convey characters through our acting techniques or skills, whatever we used to make sure another character comes to life. But here, Rachel is using all of these songs to allow you to feel her story so that you could compare it to yours. When somebody's able to do that with that kind of control and that kind of vulnerability, it's a little miracle. Songwriter, pianist, singer, it's my pleasure to give you, for the first time on Hybrid Jazz, Rachel Ekroth. Hey, Rachel.
Hey, how are you?
I'm better now talking to you. You scare me.
I'll take that as a compliment, I guess.
Yes. You should. Oh, my God. When Pete Gitlin says, oh, Trish, oh, my God, wait till you hear Rachel. And he was right. Oh, where did you come from? How can you do this? You have a lot inside of you. Wow.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Man, where are you getting... Did you save up all of this when you were little? Did you come to the conclusion early in your life that you wanted to expose your soul this way? What came first, the chicken or the egg with you?
Wow. So, I mean, it's funny because I never considered myself a talker or a writer of words. I was pretty shy, actually, when I was a kid. And so I didn't really say much, but so I guess in a way, maybe you could say I saved it up for years and then finally had something to write. But I, you know, there were times in my life when I tried writing lyrics and I just wasn't ready, you know, and so it took a while. But yeah, I was a singer when I was young, and I took piano lessons, and I kind of just focused on piano for most of my teenage years and, you know, 20s. And, recently got back into singing and started writing about 6 or 7 years ago. So
oh, wow.
That led up to now.
So, my gosh, then you really did, because you strike me as the kind of person very much like me who has had all of these notes or poems or passages for years, and then, okay, I know you did your first solo album back 2011 or so, so there was a lot to save up. And then for the next CD, you had even more notes and more poetry stashed
yes.
around someplace. Yeah, gosh. It's really beautiful, Rachel, because there's something so intrinsically jazz-like about you. You are definitely this young person with a throwback to the old ways, because I hear that in your voice. But then you bring all of this 2014 into it, so it's wonderfully hard to categorize. Isn't that beautiful?
Thank you. I love that.
Yes.
I don't think you can put me in a category. People have issues with that, but I think it's all right. I don't mind.
Well, See, this is why we do Hybrid Jazz, because you really, when you have a little bit of a tough time figuring out where somebody is coming from, but you hear so much of what is familiar in someone, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. Yeah.
Well, and talking about, you know, the way that I write my lyrics and how it kind of hints at, you know, a jazz style of writing. I mean, obviously I've been a jazz musician for my entire music career. But when I was, you know, about 14 is when I was introduced to Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan and all the singers. And so I really learned a lot of lyrics and kind of just soaked up all that, you know, old style of writing, Cole Porter and Gershwin. And, you know, so I think a little hint of that comes out in the way that I phrase my lyrics. And, you know, so that's kind of that throwback element, but then, you know, goes, you know, along with the, you know, grooves of today or, you know, production techniques of right now and stuff. So it's kind of a cool combination.
Yeah, it really is. I was talking to a vocalist that we had on the show, and she is regionally based, and she said something really fascinating. Kristen Callahan is her name, and she has been schooled in the straight-ahead style of jazz, and she is chafing at that. She loves jazz, but she chafes at the notion where those mentors around her try to sort of pull her down the highway to what they want her to do and not what she wants. And she said that everybody her age, and you and she are probably of a similar age, she said that it's kind of rare for someone who is so young as she is in her early 20s to have had a jazz background. She said her generation is used to beats. They're used to a different kind of sound. So when she does some of the jazz songs in her shows, some of the folks that she knows look at her as if she's from planet Uranus, you know? because it's just something that's an acquired taste. You were raised in a family of musicians, so you probably got steeped in everything, didn't you?
Yeah, definitely. When I was young, my parents were both in a country band, so,
oh!
You know, so there was a little bit of that floating around, but they were also, like, you know, educated musicians, and they had us listening to classical music all the time at the house, and, you know, some jazz and other, you know, kind of music from the 70s and stuff like that. And so, you know, later on I gravitated to jazz because I really loved improvisation and being able to kind of create on the spot and that kind of thing. So that was, you know, my taste. But we definitely had a variety of music in our house.
And you got to be known, you can correct me if I'm wrong at any time, but the perception is that you got to be known. Here are your parents who are musical. Your brother was also playing piano. You were recognized in the area and kind of overseen by former Count Basie band vocalist Dennis Roland. So you had a name for yourself early on, didn't you?
Yeah, I mean, in Phoenix, yeah, where I grew up, when I was about 15, my dad started taking me to clubs, and Dennis was performing a lot in the Valley, and we would go see him. I would go and sit in and, you know, play Take the A-Train and, you know, just songs that I was learning, and they would let me sit in, and I would have the best time ever. And, you know, he's somebody that I still, you know, go and sit in with today in Phoenix, so... I looked up to him a lot, you know. He was exciting on stage. I love the way he sings, you know. So he was kind of a mentor to me for my whole music career.
And you've had such a wonderful education. I love that you go away from Phoenix. You're in University of Nevada. And then you were hanging out with acts that were known in Las Vegas but also nationally known. And then you get an MFA in jazz performance. You wind up in Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
And somewhere along the line, you're touring with all these people. Rachel, you know what? I have no idea what age you are, but you've done a lot in your young years.
Well, we'll just keep it at that. I'm young-ish.
Young-ish. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm not cagey about my age at all. I'll tell everybody who gets sick of me saying this, but I'm 61. So I'm old enough to be your mom. And I'm thinking to myself, if someone is doing all of this at your age, there is no excuse for the rest of us. Wow.
Yeah, well, I've definitely done like a variety of things. You know, it wasn't always one style. So I when I was in Vegas, I was playing in a lot of pop bands. So I was learning about keyboards and programming and, you know, playing pop music. And so I never really just limited myself to one thing. And I think that's why when you listen to my record, you can't really put it in one category because, you know, I have a lot of influences and interests and I can't decide. So I just threw it all in.
Well, look, you and this is so good that you're doing this because, honestly, this gets brought up all the time. Sometimes people feel who are artists, they are led to think in a nervous kind of way, okay, if I don't keep up with what people expect me to do, I'm going to be in trouble. People won't buy my records. Thank God for your fearlessness because you're really listening to everything that affects you. You, and that's what makes you so authentic. And God, we really relish, those of us who love music, the authenticity so much because people don't understand that when others who love music listen to it, we can tell when you're not feeling it. And you're feeling everything. You are, Rachel. Oh, my gosh. It's just, you're intimate. You really allow yourself to be intimate, and that's so beautiful.
Thank you. Well, there was a lot to express, I guess, you know, holding it all in for so many years, you know. I had to write it and put it down and make it happen, so, you know, and I actually spent 3 years working on that album. I started it right before I moved back to Brooklyn 3 years ago. So I was in Phoenix, and I started recording and kind of finally found the direction I was looking for. And then, you know, as I got ready to leave, I reconnected with a friend of mine that became the producer of most of the record, Jesse Fisher. And, you know, we made it happen in his studio in Bumbo, so. Brooklyn, it's a neighborhood in Brooklyn. So,
wow, it's the kind of album that you can't possibly listen to it a first time, and not listen to it a second time almost right away because you want to catch so much of possibly something that you missed. There's, and I want to play a track here if you don't mind because what is the kind of do you have a particular situation, Rachel, where you're listening to a project for the first time and something stands out immediately and then you have to go back and hear it again? And then when you listen to the whole album maybe a second time, you go, oh, this is popping out at me now. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. That happens often, actually, with me. You know, today and, like, a lot of musicians, we listen to so much music, but now everyone's running around working and trying to get everything done. Besides just being a musician, you have to be your own manager and booking agent, and you know you're producing and you're making your website and you're doing so much that there's not always a lot of time to like listen to people's new music. And
yes,
but I love that when I get to listen to new records and I want to hear it over and over, and I usually play an album for like 2 weeks straight and I'll just check it out. And I love it when you can discover new things every time you hear the record again.
Yes.
So hopefully that's what this will do for people.
Oh, no question. And here's the kicker for me because sometimes it's really cool to have a project on while you're doing something else so that when you're not necessarily focused on the music, a melody or a lyric can hit you. And that's what A Million Dreams did for me by you. Yes. So tell me a little bit about that background because, ooh, that could be kind of anthem-like for some people.
Well, A Million Dreams, it's kind of a fun set of lyrics, I think. It's just, about somebody who pays no attention to you, and you're frustrated. And dealing with the music part of it, besides the lyrics, that song went through a few different stages, and I had a few different grooves and chord changes underneath it. But then actually Jesse and I got together, and he helped me work out the changes on the bridge, and we put it into like a 7/4 feel and added some nice textures and backgrounds and horns, and he put the effects on the horns. And, it was actually a lot of fun to put that particular song together for me, some fun arranging.
It's so interesting to hear you talk about the technical side of how you put a song together, and then when it all translates to a listener's ear, all we're feeling is, ooh, oh, whoa, didn't expect that. And the texturing is a good word to use, because there is something about some songs, and I can't wait to hear it like a fourth or a fifth time. You're all of Let Go, because there's just, it's like a story within a story. And I'm just going to stop talking now so I can let people hear. And I am pronouncing your name correctly, Rachel Ekroth.
Yes.
Okay. Because sometimes it's a little tricky. It looks like it's perfectly.
I know that. Yeah.
Right.
I've had a lot of pronunciations with my name.
Is that right? People can't understand that it's Ekroth.
Ekroth. Yeah, it's a little bit of a tongue twister, but if you think about it, it's not too hard.
No, people are just lazy. That's all it is, Rachel. This is from Let Go. This is Rachel Ekroth, A Million Dreams on Hyper Jazz from Trish Hennessy.
Thank you.
just love that song, and it's just, wow. Rachel Eckroth is with us here on Hybrid Jazz, and there's about a gazillion things to say. Rachel, are you ready for this?
Yes.
When folks tell you, when they ask you, how do you perceive yourself, and then they offer how they perceive you, what kind of names do people throw at you? Do people often compare you, because this is the nature of human beings anyway, do they compare you to anybody else? Does anybody come to mind? Have you had a lot of interviews where people offer, I don't know, word associations or thought associations when they hear you?
Well, you know, a lot of people will say things like Nora Jones, Diana Krall. You know, they just put girl and piano together. So it's a lot of
that.
That's
interesting.
yeah. But I don't know. Like, I think people, they really tell me that I can't be put in a category, and that's what I hear mostly. So, you know, they, yeah, I don't really know how to answer that, because it's, you know, it's usually that piano girl thing, and or it's just like, wow, it's so different.
Well, you know what, though? My son is 22, and we were talking about this because he is a music head. Everything that is done with some dignity and something that he believes he loves across the board, all kinds of formats. So we were talking about the fact that some people will say, and it kind of makes me mad when people say, oh, why can't music be just either good or bad? Because when you're referring somebody to go to the club and lay down $30 to see an act, somebody's going to ask you, what did you like about that person? What kind of music do they do? And somebody invariably says, well, she's kind of jazzy pop, or she's kind of country and kind of classical. People don't say, well, they're really good. Go see them. Oh, no, that's not good enough. You have to tell me what kind of music they play. So in that particular song, you know what I heard? I was hearing Anita O'Day. I was hearing Sarah McLachlan and Fiona Apple.
Okay. I'll take that. I like all of them.
Yes.
But
I think.
Yes. Oh, I was just going to say, you know, tone-wise, a lot of people say Fiona Apple. And, you know, I listened to her in my 20s, and I love her. I still listen to her, but I never really, you know, it was like I was listening to Ella Fitzgerald and Sarah Vaughan and Billie Holiday, and she probably was too, you know.
Yes.
That's probably where a lot of that comes from.
And it really is true that there is a comfort level in saying to you or to anyone, please let us say this again, you are extremely different, and we need to have extremely different, we need to have the breath of fresh air. But there's also comfort in saying, gosh, you know who you remind me of? And it brings something into focus so that people can sit back and hear you and breathe in the refreshing new quality that you bring to the table, and also have a memory that means everything to somebody. So that's cool.
I don't mind the comparisons, you know. I think it's cool, because then it makes me take a look at my music and go, oh, you know what, that kind of does sound like blah, 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 you know, so. It's okay.
And where do you get your inspirations when you write something? Is it a burning desire for you to write it down, or can you wait? Does it happen organically for you?
It happens probably differently for every song.
Okay.
You know, a lot of times I might purposely sit down and just start playing the piano and see if any words come to mind. And then after the word comes to mind, then I'll start forming a story, you know, or think of a story in my life that I could fit in with whatever, you know, thing I'm feeling at the time. Other times it's like, you know, I'll be emotionally moved to write down something that I'm feeling from, you know, something that happened, and actually sit down and write some lyrics first. and then figure out the music later. So it happens different. It happens differently all the time.
Do you really like? Do you like to write? Is it something that consumes you? Do you wake up in the morning thinking, I wonder what's going to inspire me today so that I can write about it? Or are you not as obsessive compulsive as I probably would be if I wrote all the time?
Oh, it comes in waves, I think. I spent a lot of time actually arranging and writing for instruments. So I did a lot of big band music, and I had a nonet for a while that I was writing for, like, a nine-piece group. And
really?
I was doing a lot of horn arranging in Las Vegas for pop bands and things like that. So I have a lot of background in that. And I definitely, when I was doing that, I definitely would wake up and be like, oh, my gosh, I need to write 20 bars right now. And, you know, so that was more of an obsession. Now with the lyrics, it's kind of, I kind of wait till it hits me a little bit more. So I think maybe what's happening is I'm just, you know, doing my daily thing, but it's all kind of bubbling up, and maybe when it's ready to come to the surface, then I'm ready to write.
That's really a gift that you were doing arranging, because you get all of the components of what it makes to create this beautiful production piece. I mean, the passion is already there, but you are so familiar with the technical aspect about how a song works that it must be so satisfying to you to hear the finished product, isn't it?
Yeah, it's fun. I hear those songs. I haven't really listened to the record for a little while, but I go back in here and I'm like, oh, you know, I enjoyed this song in its final stage, you know, because I spent 3 years with most of these songs and just trying to get them to sound how I want them to sound and trying to figure out how to orchestrate them and all of that stuff. So when you're in it, it's enjoyable in a different kind of way. But now I can sit back. Okay, that is a finished product, and I don't have to worry about it anymore, and I kind of like it, you know.
Well, it's funny. There's an artist that sings and plays the flute that we've had on the show. She has a name, Reagan Whiteside, and she actually expressed the other day that when her new project was finished, she was actually going through a little bit of depression because she was letting her songs go. So now it's done. What will she do because her babies were born?
Yes. Well, I know the other day when I did the official release and sent out my email and everything and did the Facebook announcement, I literally went laid in my bed and kind of fell asleep for 2 hours and I hibernated. I couldn't get back up. So
wow.
I don't know. Maybe that's a similar thing. I was like, it's over.
Oh, wow. That is something that mere mortals cannot understand, but I'm empathizing. Whoa. And here you are. Oh, my gosh. I'm so glad we're talking now, because April 28th is going to be a big deal for you. You're going to be at Pete's Candy Store in New York. Woohoo!
Well, April 28th is that, and then I have actually my CD release show on May 5th.
Yeah.
So the April 28th is just like a little preview, and then on the 5th, on May 5th at 7 p.m., we're at Rockwood Music Hall.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
It's going to be exciting. Full band.
Yeah, oh my gosh. So who will you have with you? I like to hear the names of the folks who play with an artist that I'm interviewing, because you know what? Everybody needs a piece of that pie, don't they?
Yes. I'm going to have my original band that I've been working with for a couple of years. It's Jesse Fisher, who's a producer of a lot of the music. He's going to play keyboards, and I'll be playing piano and some keyboards, but he'll be doing other keyboard chair. And then David Cutler is my bass player. And Jerome Jennings is playing drums. And Chris Perello is playing guitar. And he wrote a couple of the songs with me on the album and produced the song Muse. And then I have a couple of players. Jason Colby is playing trumpet, and he's actually my brother-in-law, and he's awesome.
cool.
And then I'll have a tenor player who's coming out from L.A. He's a friend of mine. His name is Dan Kaniyuki. So it should be fun.
Oh, man, a full band. Oh, that's going to be exciting. And that's a great venue. So you're going to get a lot of attention. And let me just tell you, Rachel, I'll be playing some of these tracks because it just, you know, with a show like this, and especially with somebody who's got such a fresh vision of your kind of music and how jazz, et cetera, heavy emphasis on et cetera, sounds to you with all of this education and training that you've had. It's just, wow, everything just pops. To play an old-school jazz piece next to your vocal is neat. One of these contemporary players like Winslow Dynasty, Dante Winslow lives in the Baltimore area half of the time, and he tours with Justin Timberlake. So his particular jazz is full of hip-hop and blues and R&B, as well as his training. To play that song next to yours, it's just a no-brainer. It's so exciting to play any track with your voice because it you know what? It just makes my show sound better.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. Great. I'm glad you like it. I'm excited about that.
Oh, look, Pete was so right. I can't thank him enough. He's going to get sick of me saying, oh, thank you, Pete. But he really did make it a point to say to me, listen to this young woman, Trish, because you're going to be in love. And I was. Now I'm going to go back, and anything I find with your name on it, I'm going to listen to.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And,
this is cool.
You know, Pete's song is the third track on the record, actually. So that's, you know, I'm sure he told you the story that he has that song on his album, but it was just an instrumental and was completely different. And so I asked him if I could write lyrics to it, and he said yes. And then I tweaked it out, and totally different now, but it's a song we wrote together. So that's
he did say that. That's awesome, though, and he's just so tickled because there's so much happening with him, too, and I'm glad for him. Well, I'm not going to keep you too long. I'm going to make sure I play Gold because that particular song has some significance. So you can let us know about how significant that is.
Gold. Gold, well, that's the first song that I worked on this album.
Yep.
And, you know, it's about falling in love, and it's about the little honeymoon period that usually happens when you're in a relationship and you just feel really good. And I was excited because it was my first kind of attempt at writing for the strings that actually got recorded, so that was exciting for me. And that song also went through a few transformations before it made it to that version. So,
wow. Well, it really does sound like Gold. Every single one of these tracks does, and I don't know what you have in mind for 2014, but I'm feeling that whatever you had in mind, even more is going to happen. Do you feel that way too?
I hope so. I hope so. I'm just going to keep plugging away. And
you're so sweet and you're so humble. Oh my gosh, you really do have a monumental talent, and it's really a pleasure to be able to have you on the show. So thanks for the time.
Thank you so much, Trish.
You're welcome, Rachel. Look, anytime you want to drop by again and have something new to announce, you've got a home here. Always know that.
Thank you. I definitely will.
Okay, cool. Well, good luck with, hey, who knows? We might see you at Rockwood Music Hall CD release party, and let folks know where to find all your information. You've got a website, right?
Yes, you can find info on rachelacross.com and, you know, Facebook and all of the usual places, Twitter.
People can buy the CD directly from your website?
You can buy the CD on iTunes and also on Bandcamp.com. I don't have physical ones for sale yet, but they'll be up soon. So
great. Cool.
Yeah, just downloads right now.
We really want to encourage everyone to support Rachel, because if it's true what you alluded to before, that you are chief cook and bottle washer for Rachel Eckroth, then we want to make sure that you get reimbursed for all those hats, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a wonderful day, and we'll see you down the road somehow, some way.
Okay, thanks, Trish.
Thanks, Rachel.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Rachel Eckroth, oh my gosh, look, this is like 5 minutes and 45 seconds, this song, and that's the only thing. You've heard me say this a few times. When you hear a voice like this, when you hear a song like this, you just want it to go on, and it's just so magnificently put together and balanced, but it's also quirky. This whole CD is just a revelation after revelation. This is called Gold on Hybrid Jazz.
Thank you.
The beauty of this show, from one kind of vibe to another, here we are on Hybrid Jazz. Man, oh, that was great. 10 minutes of Push Push, Herbie Mann and Dwayne Allman. Oh, yes. Back then, 1971, are you kidding? When folks heard that? Look, it was a weird time to combine music, you know? Here's this guy, Herbie Mann, who quite honestly liked to push the envelope anyway, so Push Push is a pretty appropriate song for him. Really liked to blur the lines as far as genres are concerned, and actually was one of those folks, an early believer in the concept of world music. There's a lot to say about Herbie Mann. Maybe folks know him from 1969 in Memphis Underground, or maybe older folks know that in 1959 he took a State Department visit, sponsored trip to Africa, and he was able to really understand, pick up the kind of Afro-Cuban kind of vibe that a lot of folks were not doing. Flutista, back in 1959, sort of defined that. Went to a trip in Brazil in the early 60s, came back, and he was all about Brazil. He felt music deeply, and a lot of people got ticked off at him because he made his music commercially acceptable because he found a key to be able to bring those sounds to the forefront. So bless his heart. He's no longer with us, but man, did he do a lot to turn people on to kinds of sounds that they wouldn't have normally heard. Born on the 16th of April, 1930. Yeah. Passed away on the 1st of July, 2003. That's so interesting, because Luther passed away on the 1st of July, 2005. How about that? You know what? It's a smaller world than we could possibly conceive, isn't it? Oh, we heard Rachel Ekroth right before that. I'm telling you what, if you want something that is so satisfying, you really believe in the kinds of sounds that younger artists are putting out, and you want to support Rachel, go buy her CD, please, because when it comes to especially those artists who are young in their careers, it means everything to see their vision acknowledged. And it was just a pleasure to be able to talk to her. And Pete's in the chat room. Pete Gitlin. Thank you, Pete. Also, welcome Jay Ham. Nice to see you. Beach has been with us. Yolanda has been with us. Guests have gone back and forth. And now I have new friend requests. I love that when that happens on Facebook. And besides that, earlier today, Peebo Bryson followed me on Twitter. And then later on, I had a little cool thing happen because a well-known guitarist from Toto replied to one of my tweets. Such a great day. Thank you so much for joining us here on Hybrid Jazz. Much to tell you about next week. Much to tell you about the 30th of April, International Jazz Day. Have a great weekend. In the meantime, we'll get to all of that next week on Hybrid Jazz. God willing. Be safe. Love you.